pilgrimage on earth. In your boundless compassion, console us who mourn. Give us your aid, so we may see in death the gate to eternal life, that we may continue our course on earth in confidence, until by your call we are reunited with those who have gone before us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
As we were planning, I might have had some wisdom not to read after that particular verse, but that's the one that undoes me. The readings from Philippians are from what Carol and Mary shared. They spent some time together each day in the Word, and this is what they shared on the morning of March the 19th. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Jesus Christ when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that, whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Thanks be to God.
I'm reading from the 10th chapter of Romans. But how are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without a preacher? And how can men preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ.
This poem called In the Valley of the Elwy was read at Carol's funeral service in Pepin. Hopkins was a great favorite of his, and this was one of his favorite poems. I remember a house where all were good to me, God knows deserving no such thing. Comforting smell breathed at very entering, fetched fresh, as I suppose, off some sweet wood. That cordial air made those kind people a hood all over, as a bevy of eggs the mothering wing will, or mild nights the new morsels of spring. Why, it seemed of course, seemed of right it should. Lovely the woods, waters, meadows, combs, vales, all the air things wear that build this world of whales. Only the inmate does not correspond. God, lover of souls, swaying considerate scales, complete thy creature dear, O, where it fails, being mighty a master, being a father and fond.
Thank you. reading from the Gospel according to Mark. Here begins the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In the prophet Isaiah, it stands written, "Here is my herald, whom I send on ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. A voice crying aloud in the wilderness, 'Prepare a way for the Lord, clear a straight path for him.'" And so it was that John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism in token of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And they flocked to him from the whole Judean countryside and the city of Jerusalem, and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. John was dressed in a rough coat of camel's hair, with a leather belt round his waist, and he fed on locusts and wild honey. His proclamation ran, "After me comes one who is mightier than I. I am not fit to unfasten his shoes. I have baptized you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord.
The reading from 2 Corinthians is one that Carol called the happy exchange. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced this one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says, at an acceptable time, I have listened to you, and on a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Here ends the reading.
Before Ron and I share in the proclamation for this day, I'm going to read to you a brief biography of Carol Luther Hinderle's life. The biography itself is most notable for all of us hearing all these stories in chronological order for the first time. Carol Luther Hinderle was born December 25, 1913, in Ada, Minnesota, the son of Abraham and Christine Dale Hinderle. He attended elementary school in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and then in Bryant Junior High and Central High School in Minneapolis. He graduated in 1935 from St. Olaf College in Northfield, Minnesota, and from Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul 4 years later. On July 9, 1939, he was ordained, and he married Mary Elizabeth Osgard at the Old Muskego Church in St. Paul. They then went and attended the University of Oslo in Norway during the 1939-40 school year. They were forced to flee because of the onset of the war in Europe. In 1940-41, they studied Chinese in the Philippine Islands. There they were captured by the Japanese and spent the war years in a Japanese prisoner of war camp at Baguio, Luzon, Philippines. In 1946, they moved to Manitowoc, Wisconsin, where he served a church, and during that time commuted during 4 years to Chicago to attend the University of Chicago. He then served as a pastor in churches at Clear Lake, Iowa, and Watertown, South Dakota. In 1954, he became director of youth for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Minneapolis. During this time, he organized the young people's work camps that became the precursor of the Peace Corps. In 1958, he took a sabbatical and studied at Heidelberg in Germany. The family then spent a year in Norway. Carol was also a Fulbright scholar at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark for the school year of 1960-61. Between 1961 and 63, he was a lecturer at Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul. Later that year, Carol became the director of Holden Village in the Cascade Mountains near Chelan, Washington. When he left there in 1977, he retired, but remained active, serving as a church pastor in Odessa, Texas, at the Lutheran Mission of the San Juans here in the state of Washington, and in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Official parish work. They then moved to the village of Stockholm in 1990 in Wisconsin. He enjoyed being near his family, and he became pastor at the Harborview Cafe. He was an avid reader and loved movies. He was a member of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Pepin, Wisconsin. Carol died on Thursday, March 19, 1992, at St. John's Regional Health Center in Red Wing, Minnesota. He is survived by his wife, Mary, three daughters, Maren Hinderle of Minneapolis, Elise Grauber of Stockholm, Mary Davis of Minneapolis, three sons, Johann, currently of Austria, Paul of Stockholm, and Andrew of St. Paul. Carol has 13 grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents, Abraham and Christine Dale Hinderle, and one sister, Alette Hinderle Knutson. Funeral services were held at 1:30 p.m. on Monday, March 23, 1992, at Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Pepin. Carol's cremated remains will be interred at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hovland, Minnesota. I think we're moving. You were asked if you have done it. You were given either a note card or a. What problem? Let's move it.
This is good.
Okay. Can we see people over here? We'll stay here. And if some of you have written down your favorite Carol Hinderle quote, if you had a chance to do that already, we would like to know those now. And if you can pass them to these side aisles, people will pick them up. If you have them, If not, save it, write it down. We're going to make those available for people to read during lunch as well. But if there are some, we'll do that.
Want me to start?
Yeah.
With a name like Carol Luther Hindley, you got to know the guy's going to be in trouble right from the beginning. Sounds like a woman's name. His middle name becomes the church that he's part of. And it would sort of follow him around, wouldn't it? This trouble. And he was always mindful of us and of God's word. And so someone before Carol said, and his name was the prophet Isaiah, I guess, "I have called you by name, and you are mine." And he would always remind us whose we were. And it was a wonderful way to enter into discussion then, because you can get out of the way then, be it our name, be it whatever. And when Carol sat in his last, quote, resting place, that box, it was the coffin in front of the church, and we looked at it, and I realized Carol already had the dress rehearsal for his second death, because he was baptized first into the death of Jesus Christ and raised. And I used to wonder about that as he sat, and I knew that coffin would not contain him. Obviously, they're going to burn him now, and they're going to put him in a little urn, and they're going to move him one more time. It's the way, it seems, with God's grace in our life. Even in death, we're on the move. And I think that's a wonderful Thanksgiving we can have. That reminder that it wasn't just to Carol, that word, "I have called you by name, you are mine," but it was to the whole people of God. How appropriate then to remember him in that Thanksgiving way. There are a few other things I will just briefly mention. Carol, he never seemed to qualify for anything. You know, every job he had the credentials, but he never quite qualified. And I always loved that about him. That he understood what the Apostle Paul understood. He said, "Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are competent of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. Our competence is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of the new covenant, not of a letter, but of a spirit. For the letter kills, but the spirit gives life." And that was another way we can say thank you, not only to Carol Luther Hindley, but to the very church of God that has come. We are competent. Isn't it interesting to be in the most incompetent church, probably in Seattle? I drove up here, and I said, "Oh, my." And yet, isn't this precisely that God, and I remember Carol was so big in a sense. He had a big ego, but he had a bigger God. And God had so much room for everybody, according to the proclamation. There was room even for those strange people we keep outside or a distance. Or for many of you who are here, which I think are really strange, that you have all been called together to celebrate life. And we are made competent. And our confidence comes not in our PhDs and all those other things, but it comes from the very gift of God that made us living things, to be read, as Paul says, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's where it comes from. Isn't that exciting? And I said this at the other funeral, because somebody before Harold Luther Hindley said it, Martin Luther said this, that in the waters of baptism, when you rise out of the waters of baptism, you either come out a priest, a bishop, or a pope. And we already knew he was a priest. But I like to say he was a bishop. Bishop Carol Luther Hindley. He was a true bishop. He taught us, and he allowed us to have our space and misunderstandings. And he was a real bishop. He prayed for us, constantly praying for all the people of God. That was the wonder of that spirited person, that the coffin cannot contain no more than the empty tomb that we'll soon celebrate, to contain a God that could bring that kind of love to us. So he is a true bishop, and he was made and qualified by the very God that took him those early moments and said, "You are mine. I have called you by name. And so he always had a wonderful word. Didn't he always give us a Greek word to think about? I hated Greek. But he always throws some Greek word at you. Well, I want to throw just one because it's such an appropriate word, at least in my opinion. This is again from Philippians. And Paul just went through the list that Nancy just read. I mean, he was a purebred Lutheran. You don't get any closer. And Paul, I guess, was a purebred Jew. But he goes on after chapter 3. He says, "Yet whatever gain I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." That little Greek word, and many of you know it, is skabula. And I think Carol relished in calling things skabula. It's a four-letter word that we don't say in church or at the table, but you can guess what it is. It even sounds like it, right? Skabula. And he would go back to the church, right? The very institution that raised him. And he'd say, "This is skabula. Get on track." And in our lives, he would say that, "Hey, that's skabula." Right, John? I mean, and Sonia, and all the names in this gathering today. And so he would give us that, and we give thanks not only for Carol Hindley, but for Paul and all the women and whoever brought those words to get us on track to know what it is that's important. And I'll end, Nancy, with this. Okay. This is a psalm, and again, I think it's... There's one psalm in the hymnal that... It's not even in the hymnal. It's Psalm 88. It's such a beautifully dark psalm. There's not a good word in it except for the last verse. And the last verse says that the darkness was my only friend sometimes. My only companions was the darkness. And I think in our grief or in our losses, and Carol and Mary and the kids and all of them knew that very deeply, that there was a darkness, and the beauty is he didn't try to take away your darkness. He had a profound respect for the darkness and the silence. When we cried out and there was no answer, and he would allow us to walk through it, always knowing, though, there would be that love of God to follow us. And so I believe today, as Elaine was feeling, I think, the loss more now than 2 weeks ago, and maybe for some of us, that the darkness may be our only companion sometimes. But even there lies the grace of God. And now I will end with the other psalm. I think it's so wonderful to be here in this place, Bill. It's Psalm 113. I'll just read two verses. "He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the needy from the ash heap, to make them sit with princes and princesses, with the princes and princesses of his people." Amen to all the princes and princesses gathered here and outside, and wherever God's grace can go. We thank you, Carol Luther Hindley, that you always reminded us, "I have called you by name, and you are mine."
We're all called to live in God's promises, and Carol's voice echoes in many of our minds with promises that put us on our feet and got us moving and keep us going. Here are some that you have shared. "We are the Lord's, with or without the apostrophe. God is always taking beggars and making them kings and queens." Martin Luther said that first, but there was never a difference much between what Luther said and what Carol said. "God takes man's foolishness and turns it into good. Love boldly, live in holy hilarity." From a river sauna sermonette, "It's going to become your world. What are you going to do about it?" And this person also wrote that Carol said to him, "Your matins at second breakfast was good, and I gave you a B-. A prayer at the end was all it needed. "You own what you take care of." Carol said this one night, "No talking or noise after Vespers and through the night. The village was amazed at this request from Carol, and through the night, we very quietly made banners and pinwheels to surprise us all in the morning. I learned that night about emptying in order to be filled. Penniless, we own the world. The finite contains the infinite. Christ is all my sin. I am all his fullness. He delivers us because he delights in us. And this person also remembered this story of Carol when he was in the St. Olaf Choir. F. Melius Christiansen said this, "Hinderly, who chose you for my choir?" "Carol, you did, F. Melius, and don't you forget it." And the verse Carol always attached to that was, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." This was the place we were waiting for. Who's for volleyball? And lots of other promises that come, because Carol talked about Jesus, I figured out, about every third sentence. There was something about the fact that the promises of God came to claim us for a life that was newer than anything we could ever imagine. And for all the people who, by the power of the promises of God, either out of Carol's mouth or simply experiencing those promises in communities that he had influenced, know then that the way in which we then continue to both mourn and celebrate Carol is by continuing the affirmation of life and of each other that Carol did by his proclamation. And so we gather today not so much in the regular proclamation of the gospel from a text assigned, as we will gather tomorrow around our Palm Sunday and beginning of our Holy Week gatherings in our own communities tomorrow. We gather around the memory of voice that was gospel for all of us, and we gather at the same time in that proclamation, which is the feast, that is that wonderful remembrance that Jesus gives in us all the time. We remember the importance and celebration that Carol taught all of us out of this wonderful feasting that we are called to. And so we then, all of us, as Carol meant us all to be, God's proclaimers wherever we are, it is not just those of us who wear these stoles. We only sort of make it possible for the rest of you to be God's proclaimers where you are. To be, Mary said to me the other day, all of us, listeners in the pew, as Carol was learning to be in his retirement now, and enjoying being what he had taught so many people to be all these years, and to know the power of the gospel that comes in the midst of all kinds of foolishness, clerical and otherwise. And so we gather here and we mourn and we rejoice. We give thanks for this person who spoke so many words, who, as we, Ron and I, have mentioned over the last 3 weeks, has rendered us so speechless by his death, he who gave us so much speech in life. But mostly around the power of God, which is yes in Christ Jesus, and to that yes, we say thanks be to God for Carol Hinderly, and amen to God's gift to us in Jesus. Please stand for the hymn. You're actually going to be standing for a long time. Not really, this isn't that long, but always feel free to sit if you need to.
Thank you.
faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for the life of Carol Luther Hinderle. We thank you for placing in his heart, mind, and voice such a powerful proclamation of your gospel with all its healing strength of forgiveness, promise, and continuing hope for changed and renewed life. We pray that proclamation of your gospel may continue to be spoken and heard with all its strength and power, so that all your people, from hearts and lives renewed in your joy, may share your love and grace with all the earth. Lord, in your mercy.
Heavenly Father, let the peace of your presence and the embrace of your love surround Mary and her children and grandchildren in their grief. By the power of the Spirit, let them know all your promises in the midst of loss. Give them freedom for their tears and patience for their sorrow. Give them joy in the laughter of memory and the confidence of your hope for the days ahead. Be with all who knew Carol as brother and father in Christ, and send your peace to all of your family who mourns. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Jesus, our friend and brother, let your presence be known in your whole church. We look to you for guidance as we seek the renewal of our life. Let the truth of your gospel so live in your people that we may all learn how to be the people of God in our time and places. Let pastors and people be faithful in the reading of your word and in their life and conversation together in the gospel. Help your church to celebrate and honor all the gifts of your children. Lord, in your mercy.
O God, let your healing hand rest upon all who are in need this day. We each remember before you those whom we know who suffer from illness of body, mind, heart, and spirit. We especially pray for all those who need, for healing is hidden, but who cry out to you both night and day. Surround all with your love and renew all your people in hope. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Creator of the universe, Lord of all, look with blessing and peace on the nations of our world. Free the oppressed. Heal divisions. End ethnic hostility. End racism. Heal the ravaged places of the earth. Use us as your people of peace and love to feed the hungry of the world and of our own communities, to house the homeless, to care for the addicted, and to help them find a path to recovery, to love our earth. We pray for all the leaders of the nations, and those who act on our behalf in our own communities. Give them wisdom and courage. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of all imagination, we give you thanks for all painters, sculptors, architects, musicians, authors, poets, dramatists, movie makers, for everyone who is able to make and do those things that help us think about the world and you in new ways, and who delight us with sound and color, who make us laugh and make life beautiful, deep, and full. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O God, Holy Spirit, you gather us together in mysterious and wonderful ways. We give you thanks for all our relationships, for the household of faith, for the households of the faithful, for friends, for godparents, for all the ways we meet and enjoy one another. Give all our relationships your peace and joy. Continue to refresh us in conversation with each other, that your word present in each of us may multiply and increase for all of us. Lord, in your mercy.
Gracious God, Father and Mother of us all, we give thanks today for the life and influence of one of your own. You gifted him with a great intellect and a vision for seeing the complexities of life. You gifted him with a great spirit of celebration. You gifted him with a profound sense of your grace, to which he gave constant testimony. And finally, you gifted us with him. We all have our own private memories, O Lord, of Carol. Our memories are as complex as he was complex. O Lord, we pray that you would help us continually to remember the many blessings in our memory for the gifts of this servant of yours, Carol Luther Hinderly. Lord, in your mercy. Now I would invite you to join with me in the prayer that we have come to know as the Holden Prayer. It did not originate with Holden. Let us pray together. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ,